Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We've got three tiers. You get two bonus episodes a week. It's a lot. It's a lot of shit. If you want to hear us talk a bunch of shit, go do that.
For $1 a month, you get four extra episodes. It's
that's
crazy.
True.
Cheap.
That's oh wait, that is true. That is true. I can't always fuck that up. Yeah, four episodes where we just complain about life. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF, our good friend from I, Tanya, Richard Jewell, Black Klansman, and the upcoming Cruella. It's Paul Walter Hauser. Hey, Paul.
Oh, hey guys. Thanks What's for having up? Me on. Thanks for having me on your show.
So I have a lot to talk to you. I'm just scrolling through your IMDb. First of all, I didn't know they brought back Reno 911.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
That was a Quibi thing, and Quibi was kind of like CISO, but with family money.
Oh, it was and, a quick bite?
Yeah, it was a snackable ironic, piece of entertainment.
The most ironic thing about Quibi was it itself as an industry or as a company was a quick bite. It lasted for just about a month.
That was Shade. I mean, Wade talking. yeah, no, I mean, I got a call from my reps and they're like, hey, Tom Lennon and the Reno people were wondering if you wanted to do. And I was like, just stop talking and tell them yes. I would have literally held a bounce board for them. Or
yeah,
coffee.
Right.
I love that show.
They're comedy heroes.
For me, they were. That show is incredible. It holds up, man.
Well, so how did they do it in the quick bite? Were all the episodes only just like one segment where it used to be like one out of like four or five segments?
I mean, it's one of those things where the episodes are, they're about 6 to 10 minutes. And it's the exact same format of just, you know, sort of tangential sketch comedy pieces.
Right. I guess that translates better to the quick bite formula than like most things would.
I think so. It was still funny. I was
laughing. You were the same guy in every episode? Were you a cop?
They wrote a character for me to play like a security guard who literally takes their IDs when they get to the door. So the whole running gag is like the game of the scene is I'm like almost concerned about them being on the premises or something. So we did that bit over and over again. And then they just let me improv like crazy. So we just like did all these dumb random scenes and then I watched the show and I got to see what they chose. It was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, I wanted to ask you in that vein. I thought you were really great in Late Night. And when you like the way that you hold your, he's a writer on that show. And the way that you hold your computer on that show, like, is that how you hold your computer ever? It felt, when I saw that, I was like, oh fuck. Like, how come I don't hold it like that?
That's so not what I do, but it was a weird thing. I think they might have given me a Mac Air. I don't think it was a normal heavy MacBook.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting. Like, he probably walks around uncomfortable doing this because he's just used to doing it. A weird actor thing. But also, when you're a smaller character in a movie or show, you have to kind of think of specific things to do so that you feel like your own fully breathed character, even if it's small, you know?
Yeah, it was cool to see what a room full of writer assholes was like. You know, they did a good job of...
I liked that movie. I thought that movie was really good. We kind of sold for way too much money at Sundance, and then it underperformed in theaters. But I like it's a movie that like my family can watch. I come from a very religious family, and like, you know, when they were watching me on Kingdom, like stabbing people and pulling my pants down, you know, it's not exactly their, you know, brand of tea. So it's cool to mix it up and get to do something a little more tame.
Well, I want to ask about Cobra Kai. You were just in season two, right?
That's so weird because no men between their mid 30s and mid 40s like Cobra Kai. That's so weird.
Well, we talk about it because we cracked the code. Like, we got duped because we love the idea of Johnny and Daniel like flipping the script, but then they swooped us in, and then it turned into a young adult series, and it's like, well, I'm still watching it, but I don't like watching all these kids kissing.
And that's where we differ, because I'm a big kids kissing guy. For me, it doesn't get hotter than Christina Ricci and Devin Sauer and Casper, but I don't think I haven't been chasing the image since then. I had a meeting. God, this isn't gonna play well. I had a meeting with Josh Hayden and John, the guys who created Cobra Kai, and they just said, "Hey, we liked you and Itania. We thought you were funny and weird, and you might like our stuff. Do you want to play this weird character we have for you in the new season?" Night. I think like at some point in our lunch meeting, like one of us quoted Dirty Work, the Norm Macdonald movie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That kind of sealed it. And I know that that sounds bad, but there was some moment where I was like, oh, these guys like Dirty Work. Yeah, I'll work with
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Hey, moment. when they taped your hands to your bottles, who came up with that for the party?
Yeah, that was the writers. That was the head guys. They wanted.
Have you ever done that?
I've done Edward 40 hands. I never finished them, though, I don't think. I think I took it off because it was uncomfortable. But what they did is the props department wrapped it in duct tape and then made a glove out of duct tape. So I wasn't actually duct taping my hands. I like stuck my fingers in. But you know that you got some art department experience, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We used to do that with we're going skiing and you just drink a beer and then after you finish one you taped it to the bottom so that you end up having ski poles.
Oh, that's fun. My buddy Charlie Saxton and I used to do that, but we called it wizard sticks.
Yeah, wizard sticks. I've heard wizard sticks.
Yeah. Those are fun, man. I miss drink. I haven't drank all year. At 11:59 before it turned midnight and the year began, I had about four shots worth of High West whiskey and some butterscotch cookies. And that was the end of my Paul being a fat ass and loving rolling around in sugar and booze, and I've been very healthy all year so far.
What do you do? You're trying not to drink the entire year?
I mean, that would be nice, and that's kind of the trajectory, but I also believe in, you know, self-forgiveness, and if for some reason I have a moment where I'm like, well, my mom's sick and in the hospital, or President Trump is actually president. We were wrong. Like, I'm going to maybe need to drink. So. I love whiskey and I love Cabernet. And there's nothing like a cold, cheap can of beer. I'm also into that. Yeah.
Talk about Ralph Macchio, though.
Dude, I made him have lunch with me one day. And nice. He was very cool about it. But I was like, I sat across from him at a lunch table, and for 20 minutes I just grilled him on The Outsiders because I'm obsessed.
Oh, cool.
I'm not a big Karate Kid fan. I like it, but I'm not like quoting it. I'm not like,
oh dude, Outsiders was one of the first movies that I mean, Outsiders remember crying was
crazy
to.
Just the cast of Outsiders is like insane.
The cast is insane, and also the movie's just legitimately good, I think. People forget Coppola had a run that few people ever have where he did the two Godfathers, freaking The Conversation, the Apocalypse Now and Outsiders. Those were all in like 6 years. Like it was absurd the run he had.
I didn't know he did The Conversation. That's funny. I love that movie. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe it was like 8 or 9 years, but it's still like, yeah, big Coppola fan. Wish he kept going the way he did. What are you guys watching? What is like your go-to right now?
I'm currently watching Get Shorty, the show.
That is so specific.
Well, it's because I thought
It's not even bad. It's just a very specific choice.
I thought I had watched the whole thing, and then I went back and I looked, and I think I only watched the first season. I was like, "Oh, there's like two more seasons. I should like finish this." And so that's what I've been doing. I've just been binging it.
I like. I think Chris O'Dowd's a good actor. I think he's better than better than just the comedy stuff. I saw him in that Molly's Game movie with Jessica Chastain. No doubt.
I love really Molly's Game. Molly's Game is about a girl that went to our high school.
Yeah. Oh, like crazy. I didn't know that. I haven't seen that movie yet. It was just stupid, but like, yeah, we're friends with her and like, fucking crazy, right?
I mean, the story's wild, and you know, I'm a Sorkin fan where like, even if I don't love his movies, I still enjoy them. You know, I just
it's a certain tone. Those movies, you can just kind of put them on anytime, and like, you don't even have to pay attention to them. Really, they're just kind of nice. You know,
they're great background movies. Yeah. I have a few like that where I'll randomly turn on Michael Clayton or Spotlight or something that's just good, and I'll let it play in the background.
Yeah, Spotlight's in there. Moneyball.
Moneyball's great, man. That movie grew on me. The more I watched it, the more I liked it.
Good. I haven't seen that yet, so I'll watch that. I'll do mine quick. I'm trying to get through Cobra Kai. My wife and I are rewatching the original Charmed, and
bold move.
Dark. Have you seen Dark yet?
No.
Dark is a subtitle series. Thing, right?
Yeah. It's like Stranger Things without the nostalgia and in another country.
Did you ever see Light?
Nuh-uh.
It's like the opposite of Dark. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, there's no subtitles. No. It's not in a different country.
It's mostly about frozen yogurt. You wouldn't dig it.
And I'm getting through OG Star Trek and Enterprise. Like, I'm rewatching original Star Trek, but I've never watched Enterprise. So I'm watching that. And like, I love, I can't even think of his name. I was about to say Sam Beckett. I love Sam Beckett. So I'll watch him in anything, but.
I really enjoyed Barry, and I thought I was going to hate Barry because I just thought the idea of Hitman wants to be an actor, like it feels like a bad improv scene. Yeah. But I really liked that show, and it kind of hit a nerve with me and a lot of people. So I've been watching that. And
wait, is there a new season out?
Oh no, I'm waiting on the new one. Okay. But I just mean I love those love that first show. Two.
So
and,
good.
And then Netflix has a couple. I mean, I love Stranger Things, and I love Ozark. There's a couple good ones on there too.
Yeah, I have a hard time finding things to watch on Netflix. It's just my problem with Netflix is they don't like tell you what to watch. They tell you all the wrong things to watch. So yeah, you have to dig to like watch the right stuff.
They also have a weird menu where they're kind of heavy on the true crime docs that aren't even that purposeful or good. they go hard in the paint on like subgenres in a way that I don't think they need to. But what do I know? I haven't seen the metrics. I don't know the metrics. I don't know what they're doing.
They don't. They don't send you a newsletter on the Cobra Kai metrics.
No, they don't, or I'm just not privy to it. I randomly did email Ted Sarandos. I got his email from someone because we were pitching a show to Netflix, and I wanted to be like, Teddy, baby, Kingdom and Cobra Kai and the Five Bloods. I mean, I feel like I'm your nephew, Teddy. Come on, baby.
And then he respond?
No, he never responded. And my show did not get sold. I pitched a show with, you guys probably know this guy, Owen Ellickson.
I don't think so.
You do know him. No, he wrote for The Office and Superstore, a bunch of shows. But he and I pitched a show to like 37 networks, and they all passed. And it was deeply humbling. It was rough.
I've said this before. Selling a TV show is maybe the hardest thing to do. It's fucking impossible.
Yeah, I heard it goes selling a TV show, then raising kids. What's the third one?
Any idiot can raise kids. Do you see how many morons are walking around? Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess you need to make that a little more clean, like raising a good kid, right?
Yeah, raising a kid well. Raising a kid to not wear a fur hat and show up at the Capitol with bloodlust. God forbid.
Okay, we do a thing on the show called the WOW scale. It stands for Wade or Willie. if you're a more of a zero, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a five, you're more of a Willie. It's like a spectrum. It's a five question quiz. It's to get the listeners familiar with, like, if they should take your opinion seriously or not.
Oh, wow.
Is that clear?
And this has been tabulated and kind of backed by a number of different organizations. This isn't something you two cobbled together.
Yeah, we're data collecting. Our sponsor is the CIA. Yeah.
We workshopped it.
Let's do it. Let me try it.
Okay, you're ready to get weighed on the WoW scale?
Yes, sir.
WoW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, three-part question. I'll ask all three parts and then you're free to answer.
Feel free to ask all three parts, even.
No, I will.
Oh, great.
Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Wow. I think that I do believe in aliens, and I believe that they did visit within the last 300 years. And when I say visit, let me be specific. I don't know what that looked like, but visit meaning we're in our atmosphere. Yes.
Okay. What's your idea of an alien? Do you subscribe to, like, you know, a humanoid, or do you think it could just be like whatever?
I don't know. I think it could maybe be, I don't know. I kind of mix sci-fi with fantasy when it comes to even real world stuff. Cause I'm like a Jesus guy. I'm like a Christian dude who practices that faith, even though a lot of the people that do are embarrassing me at this moment in our political time. To me, aliens, like, I believe they could exist for sure. But as far as what they are, I mean, you know, the American movie watching idiot in me is like, they're evil. But I mean, they could just exist and, like, be very sort of disinterested with us in general, which is why they're not waging war so much as they're peeking behind the curtain.
Yeah. Okay. Question number two, do you believe in ghosts?
I do, very much so.
All right. Let me follow this up, because you just said you're religious. Where are you from?
A scary little town called Saginaw, Michigan, near Flint. Yeah, there's a lot I could say about that, but all I'll say is, good people, but not an area that's brimming with opportunity necessarily. Yeah.
So yeah. You were raised religious. You're still religious.
Truth.
Do the ghosts come into that at all?
The line delivery you just gave was the fucking greatest thing ever. Did the ghosts come in at all? Billy likes to drink soda. Miss Lippy's car is green. No, I would say.
Wait, do you think that this podcast is scripted and I'm just reading a script?
No. You guys are far too lazy to script this thing. No,
100%.
I think for me, a synonym for ghost is spirit. So, yeah, I think there's probably good spirits and bad spirits, you know?
So when it comes to Christianity, do you have a ghost story?
I have, you know, this is such a sensitive topic because you never want to lose credibility with all the listeners by saying something too far out there, but also it literally nothing fucking matters.
Like ghost stories. No one's gonna not hire you because you have a ghost story.
I've felt like demonic presence before, where I'll have a dream. Because we all have, like, a screwy dark comedy brain where we can imagine crazy or bad things.
Yeah.
But I'll have a dream sometimes, and I would say on average maybe twice a year, I'll have a dream that's so dark that it doesn't feel like it could have even been from the unconscious recesses of who I am.
Wowzers.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
Rather than be perplexed and feel guilty about the dream, I genuinely believe something is inhabiting that space, and it's allowed to do so when you're asleep and not fully engaged in all your functions, I think.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, but it's a fun idea.
Do you believe in psychics?
What do you mean by believe?
Do you think that people have an ability to, like, you know, be psychic?
I think they do, but same as spirits, I think those can be accessed by good or bad things. Absolutely. And that's me having met psychics and had encounters with those people.
Have you gone to a psychic?
No, but I was walking down Beverly near the Writers Guild and the Grove and all that. That area, I was walking down Beverly past Third, and an old woman said to me, could you come in and help me? And I just didn't know why she needed help. And I was like, sure. And I walk into her store, not really even registering what store it was or what shop. And she's asking me to look at her iPad. She's like, I'm trying to post a help wanted thing online or something on Craigslist. This was probably 7-8 years ago. And so I'm helping her, basically a young man helping an old woman deal with the internet. And as I'm futzing around for 2-3 minutes, I look up and see that the sign says psychic. And I was like, oh, okay. but because I believe in these spiritual things, I literally said in my head a Bible verse. And the second I was done saying the Bible verse, she runs in the room and she goes, no, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for coming. I don't need your help. And looks scared as if I threatened her with a weapon.
Wow. Wait, did you say it out loud?
No, I said it in my head.
Whoa.
And I mean right after. I'm not like being cute and spinning a tail. This is something that factually happened and made me go, what was that all about?
Wowzers.
And for the record, I won't overdo it, but if you guys just want to sit with a bottle and smoke cigarettes on someone's patio and hear stories, I have so many fucked up spiritual stories. You wouldn't even, it would be informative at best and entertaining at least, put it that way.
But I guess what I'm learning from this is you'll just follow anyone anywhere if they say, please help me.
Yeah. I'm a fucking idiot. I've done this. I've gotten myself into so many horrific situations by extending sort of this thoughtless amount of love and trust with strangers.
That's rad. Oh,
That's not a bad thing. Question number five, last question. Are you superstitious?
I think we all are a little bit. I'm sure, you know, because it can manifest in different ways. But I would say, is that a yes or a no question? Am I
superstitious? No, you can expand on it if you want.
I would say yes, but in a low stakes manner. You would never see me. Like, I have a weird joke that I do on all movie and TV sets where anytime there's a giant ladder nearby from like the grips and the lighting people, I always walk under every ladder I see on purpose. So in a weird way, it's antithetical to oneself because I'm doing it to kind of poke a hole in superstition. But at the same time, it's almost as if it's become a superstition in and of itself, you know?
That's so funny because I do that exactly.
Seriously?
Yeah, you inadvertently bumped yourself up on the WoW scale because you do something that Willie also does and references a lot.
Oh, how funny. How funny is that?
So that means you are, I'm going to give you a 3. So you're like right in the middle.
Is that good?
There's no good or bad. I mean, you know, it's just like, would you rather be more like me or Willie?
I mean, you're both wearing cat shirts. I feel like I'm going to lose regardless here. I'm exactly where I want to be. Steelers wheel, stuck in the middle with you. That's where I want to be.
All right, great. Hey, Willie.
Whoa.
What are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Oumuamua. Was this space object? Was this interstellar object intelligent?
Was this an alien probe? Was this thing a comet? In 2017, this thing passed by us, and a Harvard scientist said this might have been an alien probe. Could he be right? tonight, we'll also get into, what would we do if we actually did find a probe and it was proven? All that tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Oumuamua?
Yeah, Oumuamua. It was named, they found it in this, from the Pan-STARRS telescope in 2017 in Hawaii, and it has a Hawaiian name, which means like scout or...
Paul, do you know anything about this?
No, and I had ample time to look it up. I just...
But you know, you too. The thing is that this was the one they were talking about when they said that they were going to Armageddon it. You know, the idea of us actually going to an asteroid. It had already passed us, but it was like, dude, this... In 2017, this thing passed us, and some people say it's like cigar shaped, and that there's so many crazy things about this that the simple explanation is actually crazy. So it can't be just a rock that went through, because too many other things about it make it prove that it's not just that.
So yeah, it's not an asteroid?
And this is a lame thing, but an asteroid is specifically from the asteroid belt.
Well, okay, it's not a meteor.
It's not a meteor, and it's not a comet. But it was first labeled a comet, and then they're like, oh, fuck, it's not a comet. And then they labeled it an asteroid, and they're like, oh, it's not an asteroid. So now it has its own classification of just something. It came from outside of our solar system. It wasn't from the Oort cloud. And ultimately, I'll just do this real quick. Some of the crazy things about it are, it's a new class of an interstellar object. And the thing, if you try to look up what the size of it was, they say it could have been 100 feet. It could have been 1,000 feet. The brightness of it was weird. The shape of it was weird. Some people think it was shaped like a cigar that was tumbling. And it also sped up a couple times. Not because it like sped up in ways that were unnatural. Wasn't from the,
but how can you say it's unnatural if you don't even know what it is?
Well, that's the thing. Is
it swished. He just did a jump and swished.
No. Give me that cigarette. No. That's mine. That's my turn. It's my turn. This they say that it had an unknown force acting on it. If this thing were just like a normal comet where it was like off gassing from the sun, like when the sun hits a comet, when it heats up that water, it just turns straight into vapor. And so was it vapor? Hold on, I'm getting mixed up now. But the reason why you see the trails and tails on comets is because water doesn't have a liquid form in space. So it goes straight from ice to gas.
Oh, wow.
And so they saw no gas on this thing ever, even while it was tumbling and even when it sped up. So it's so rare and random that even this satellite saw this thing the size of a building coming into our solar system. You know, that's really rare. And it actually was the first interstellar object we ever detected, meaning it's the first thing we've ever seen that didn't come from our solar system, entered our solar system.
Wait, that's just never happened before, according to
that? No, because comets, asteroids, meteors, they're all pretty much from our solar system.
And they're exploitable. We assume we know the origin versus...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's so rare, and they can't tell the size because the brightness of it would change tenfold, meaning it's either made of some weird metal that is so reflective, or I mean, it got 10 times brighter every now and then. And so they're like, well, it can't just be tumbling, because you can't really just have metal on one side of some weird shape come. We've never seen anything that is shaped like this. But I want to say this, anytime you look this up, they show you what it looks like. You know, here's a cigar-shaped object. They do not have a picture of it. This is a rendition. And so this is a rendition based on the popular idea of it. And so this Harvard scientist come out and said that wrote a paper because he's like, well, what you're showing everybody also still isn't defined enough for you to draw it, because there are things about it that prove that it can't look like this.
Is it this thing?
No, that was that thing in the sky was the Tesla rocket. It was actually in orbit. And so you could see the gas and that propulsion moving, and it made it look like the giant sperm.
Right. Yeah. Because I do remember that. I think that was also maybe 2017. But
yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah,
I mean, the artist's rendering of this thing, it just looks like a turd. It looks like a piece of shit.
And we have that
there's a big giant out there and he's just shitting into our solar system.
Well, so this is what the scientist says, is that we haven't seen objects shaped like that. And an object shaped like that couldn't survive, because even microparticles would blast that thing apart. That thing's going, you know, you picture something smaller than a piece of dust could rip through that, you know? And so we haven't seen asteroids or meteors that are shaped. That thing, the way that they draw it, is like a cigar. So it's like a 10-to-1 ratio, where it's like, you know, a slice of paper sideways, but just.
Well, and, I don't want to derail you, but like a lot of these UFOs that we see are cigar shaped, right? So like, but is that not connected in any way?
No. So this guy says that what he thinks is that it could be a solar sail. The reason why they drew it like a cigar is because of that 10 times brighter intensity thing, where it's like, oh, this must be something tumbling, because if it were tumbling, maybe it would get so bright and then it would be so skinny we couldn't see it. And he's like, well, if you had a solar sail, it would basically be a flimsy piece of a flimsy sheet. And so some, you know, a solar sail, let's say it was not a flat sheet, but geometrically around you, concave, like a sail. And so like at some points you would see a bright reflection, and then sometimes you'd see nothing, because you're like, how the light is reflecting off of it. Because like basically every 8 hours it changed the brightness. So that's where like, oh, it must be tumbling. And he's like, it could be a solar sail. Like
a the solar reason why sail, meaning a like a literal sail, like on a ship that uses solar power.
Yeah, you remember in you remember how Obi-Wan Kenobi made it to that planet?
I'm gonna stop you right there and say no.
Tatooine.
Well, no, when he went to that planet with all those bugs, where basically Friday the 13th happened. Yeah, well, I say that because basically the Knights Templar, Friday the 13th is when everyone killed all these Knights Templar. So like when they killed all the Jedi, there was this moment where like everybody was in on this.
So you're referencing Friday. What are you saying? Friday the 13th? And you don't mean the very popular, ubiquitous horror movie franchise? You mean something that no one has ever heard of?
Well, it's called Friday the 13th because that was the day that the king betrayed the Knights Templar and killed all of them.
Right. And the shorthand for that, we should all know what you're talking about.
At any point, at some point, Obi-Wan Kenobi had a ship and it had a sail on it. And so basically it was using solar winds and stuff to propel itself. And then like it's folded up the sail and went back into the ship, whatever. So it's like that. In the 90s, sure, they came up with this idea of a solar sail. So they used it in Star Wars, but in the 90s, that's when they started talking about it.
And I think what would scare me is any scientist who's like eating bugles and just goes, maybe it's a solar sail. And I don't know if they're saying it's a real thing or if they're literally referencing a Lucasfilm. So that would be my greatest question is this a practical thing that people have ascertained through years of study, or is this people kind of grasping at straws because nobody wants to look like the doofus who thinks it's a UFO?
Lucas ripped off the science.
It doesn't originate with the film, you mean?
It's a real thing that they're considering making. And like, I think we're making one, you know, it's just like, how do you, if you want to get a probe to leave the solar system, propulsion is the biggest question. Cause you can't have enough gas to, you know, like if you picture Voyager, like they use the gravity of planets to like move around, but then you leave the solar system and there's no more planets. So how are you? You're just going to stay, a body stays in motion, but if you'd like to go to the nearest galaxy or, you know, then like you've got to push faster than just riding on
your gravity. You can't glide. You'd have to be propelled to the degree that you're going to be shot out of that atmosphere.
Otherwise you're going to get there 20 generations from now and like, who cares? Yes.
And then the Star Treks will have been lost.
Well, at any rate, he basically says, I'll do this real quick. He says the shape of it is unique in a way that we haven't seen anything like this. The size of it is just, it's so small that our sun should capture this thing. This thing, picture a building the size, picture the Empire State Building going through our solar system. Our sun should like capture that thing and keep it. Like, how is it just passing through? And the speed of it is crazy because here it came into our solar system and then it sped up on the way out and it passed through like four planets. So there is no reason that it should have sped up. So people speculate that like, well, if it was a cigar and it was off gassing, maybe it like spun it in such a way that it sped up. But A, that wouldn't make that speed up. And B, we would see the off gassing because we're looking at it. We would see there's no like invisible gas with the sun.
Tell it to my dog.
and the shininess of it going 10 times brighter and like this is definitely, they watched it so much that you can see the acceleration on the way out was unnatural, and so that's what this article was all about.
I think the unnatural acceleration as opposed to the drifting of a solar sail is pretty good evidence that it's not something normal, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that just that alone, right? If it's because an asteroid is also, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't an asteroid usually on a trajectory? It's not something that's going to take its time and stop. And then like, it's usually just going, right? It's a straight.
Well, so here's the thing. Asteroids and meteors, sometimes they speed up when they get near the sun because the sun, you would think like the sun pushes some of the gas off of it, but it also heats it up in such a way that there'll be like a hole and it'll act like a rocket booster sometimes, you know? So sometimes they do speed up towards the sun.
Right.
But not on the way out.
Yeah, the way out thing is crazy. And also, so and like
it turned really weird. Like, honestly, if you go to the Wikipedia, they have a little gif of its trajectory. And if you just go look that up, because it's interesting to see it come in, speed up, turn weird, speed up and leave. And it's like, fuck, dude, like it's very unnatural.
I like the turn weird part, because I just feel like that's like the part in the movie where an astronaut or a scientist would get scared to death. It wouldn't be the size of it. It wouldn't be the unidentified nature. It would be this decisive movement that was a little too quick that would make them believe they wield a power that couldn't be matched by Earth. That would be pretty cool. I hope we're all going to die from aliens.
I would love to die. If it's at the hands of aliens, so be it. But I'll take all comers.
They call it on the Wikipedia, they call it, but it did exhibit non-gravitational acceleration.
Well, so yeah, okay, all of that. But I'm watching this GIF, and it just looks like it came down, and then the sun, it sort of like slingshots around the sun. Why is that unexplained? It seems like the gravitational pull of the sun like made it do that turn.
The sun wouldn't make it turn. It would just, well, here's the thing. If you're coming straight in and the sun gets you, it's just going to turn you a little bit. That's like almost a 90 degree turn.
Oh, well, all of my space knowledge comes from like Armageddon, where they like slingshot around the sun or whatever they do.
But their slingshot is definitely controlled.
It's more of an oval.
Yeah. Like that's such a hard turn that like, if you look at any of that slingshot technology, nothing turns that hard. And this is the sun we're talking about, not Jupiter or, you know, anything that we've used.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break. And then when we get back, I want to know about how it's a drone for the aliens.
Word.
I think we've covered the science. All right, as one can. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with our friend Paul Walter Hauser. Do I have to call you Paul Walter Hauser? Is that like a SAG rule?
No, that's just like my grandpa who's dead. Thanks for bringing that up.
It's a real rarity that somebody's grandfather would be dead. I'm so sorry.
It was recent. This was like 20 years ago. His name was Walter, and they named my middle name after his first name. So when I was like 14, I decided I'm going to use the full name and be a real piece of shit.
Oh, it sounds cool, man.
My middle name is also after my grandfather, but legend goes he tried to kill my grandmother. So I'm not sure. I guess that's why I don't go by Wade Everett.
He didn't try to kill her. It was just he circumnavigated her, and he kind of sped up when he got.
He was trying to use the sun's gravitational pull, and he shot the couch instead of her.
Sometimes he shined real bright, and sometimes he was a real piece of shit.
But more than anything, the guy smoked a lot of cigars. That's what we're getting at.
And I'm sure he was a lot of invisible gas too.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Really Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you from the future?
Yeah. I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
Motion elements. And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me.
Motion elements.
I'm trying to save you, dumbass. please, Grandpa.
Grandpa from the future.
Motion elements.
This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Motion elements.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are talking about Oumuamua. With our friend, I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not Hawaiian.
Oumuamua.
It's Kamala Harris. Kamala
Harris. Oumuamua Harris, yeah. Oh, sorry. I got something in my throat.
You did the
with
thing.
Our friend Paul Walter Hauser. Paul, I wanted you to take a moment. What's coming up? What are you working on that's coming up that you're excited about?
Yeah, what is going on? Yeah, I got this movie Silk Road that comes out next month with Jason Clarke from Zero Dark Thirty. He roughs me up in the movie. It's a funny couple of scenes. And then I got this Disney movie Cruella coming out in May.
That's
I think
rad.
It's like Disney's first proper theatrical release of the year, I think. Yeah.
Oh, whereas, yeah.
So it's going to be in the theater?
It purports to be, yeah. May 28th is the date. And Emma Stone, Emma Thompson, Mark Strong, Kirby Howell-Baptiste, like the cast is really good. Really, 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 really cool movie. I've seen like 30 minutes of the movie because of these ADR recording sessions at Disney. And it just looks like one of their, because I don't like all the live action movies they do. I think some of them are a little factory farmed and they lack an edge or creative take. And this one is like, I think this is the best one they've done since Jungle Book, probably. I really like it.
That's rad. Cool. You know, I hate to say it. I want Disney to be really good because I grew up loving it so much, you know? So when a Disney thing is bad, it's really depressing.
Yeah, when anything's bad, it can be depressing. But with Disney, you expect a lot, you know? You expect things to be incredible.
And then also, like, some of the old things I grew up with, like I can't show Moose Pinocchio because it's, like, it's
terrifying.
Weirdly dark.
Yeah. I hate that movie. It looks like a child trafficking manual. It's the weirdest shit ever.
Yeah.
If you rewatch it. I'm not kidding. It's really dark and weird.
No, it is for sure. They turn them into donkeys and stuff. The whole thing is like a nightmare. It's like a fever dream.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
All right. Bizarre. Well, Willie, let's get back to Oumuamua.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Cause like, here's the thing we have. Those are all the main crazy things, right? And so it's weird to, you know, most people haven't heard of this. It's not on most people's radar. And if it is, maybe they saw the cigar shape thing and like, it's weird how they just kind of project what they think it is. And then like, you just treat that as fact. And I'm like, not to say that the solar sail is more credible than the cigar, but it's like, they're both wrong. And so what's weird to me is here's my question. What happens when we do find a probe in our solar system looking at us? What's the proper thing to do when you see an alien probe?
What's the proper thing or what would we probably do?
Yeah, I guess kind of both, like whichever one you want to talk about.
I mean, fucking, we would shoot it, right? Like, that's what we would do.
We would capture it and try to dissect it. Well, first off, whoever finds it, you know, doesn't want to tell anybody. The military is going to come in and say, stop talking about it because we're going to capture this thing and then we're going to reverse engineer it.
All I know is when I find a weird bug in my apartment, I don't like capture it and ask my friends what it is. I just kill it.
that would be a good line in like a movie that I like.
Yeah,
that.
That's like a Jeff Goldblum's dad, and you know, saying that. Well, if I find it, we gotta kill it. You know,
that's a great impression.
and then Harvey Firestein would come in and go, "Oh my God, I better call my mother."
And then Robert De Niro comes in and he goes, pretty much, Yeah, pretty much.
And then David O. Russell comes in and goes, I was trying to help you, you... Sorry, I was about to do the rant from Huckabees. I think...
Wait, can you imagine yelling at... Who did he yell at? Like a fucking legendary actress. What was her name?
Lily Tomlin.
Lily, can you imagine yelling at Lily Tomlin?
I don't know, when I'm trying to make my day.
Fucking balls on that guy. Holy shit. Wait,
who did that?
I'm just I was dragging that famous story of him. He dogged out Lily Tomlin on the set of I Heart Huckabees, and people caught it on camera. It's kind of like Christian Bale's thing about, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Christian Bale's thing, the guy was kind of fucking with him, but he yelled at Lily Tomlin? I'm so stupid. I missed this.
He let her have it.
Let her have it. But, you know, when you come to set 5 minutes late, You gotta make an example out of these.
Yell at your AD, man! You can't.
I'm kidding. I'm not. I wasn't. You lose sarcasm in a podcast sometimes. You can't see my face. I think if aliens came to Earth and we were able to identify it as not even a threat, but as something unknown and seemingly powerful, we would definitely try to cover it up. And the way we would do it is the satellite images would come out and there'd be people doctoring those photos to make them look different. And eventually the internet wouldn't have hold of the original image. They'd wipe it from the internet. We'd have the doctored image. We'd then dissect that while they're actually dissecting them. And then if they had to, they would stage something in the media where we would be distracted enough to forget about the aircraft.
So here's the thing. I'm not going to hark on this too hard, but like, if that were happening now, this is what it would look like. Oh, here's the cigar thing that we saw, you know, like forget about
maybe
nobody even A knows about it, but B, nobody knows all of these characteristics about it that are extremely rare and random, you know, like, it parallels also, very
so
well.
Do you think it is a drone? What do you think it is, Willie?
I think it is a probe of some sort that came into our solar system, flew by a few planets, and then took off. And I think that we see probes, a lot of the UFOs that are reported on Earth are probably from a different race of aliens, and there are probes hitting us all the time, but not because they're looking at us, like they're looking at our planet. I don't think that we're smart enough to want to get noticed. We're not doing anything that's like,
I mean, they probably flew by and they were like, okay, yeah, this is nothing. We don't care about this.
I mean, if anything,
I could see that
water is our whole existence, and most of the universe doesn't have water. Like, even on Mars, if there's water, it's not in the liquid form. And so it's like, if there's any probes, man, they're just looking at our water.
They came in there like, these guys are making TV shows based on 30-year-old movies. We don't need to waste our time with these motherfuckers. These dumb fucks. They can't even come up with new stories. They have to rehash shit from 30 years ago.
They were probably looking at us like, oh, you think we're like third rock from the sun? No, we're more like smart.
Yeah.
Like, I can see them looking at us like, you people's entertainment really, really dumbs us down.
I constantly try to contemplate a species existing for thousands of years. For millions of years, you know, like, cause I always try to say like, what, not that I'm trying to get qualities from thinking about that, but I'm like, what's important when a civilization is supposed to last thousands of years? Wouldn't you stop bickering about everyone's beliefs? If you're like, hey, we all, instead of living for 60 years, we're all going to live for 8,000 years each. It's like, well, we got a lot of time to go through. Like, I want to focus on, I don't know what I want to focus on, but it's not going to be bickering between beliefs.
Oh, I think it would be even worse. It would be like, can you imagine the OK Boomer memes of a society where the oldest people are 8,000 years old? And you're like 1,000 years old, and you're like, what are these 8,000-year-olds talking about? Like, they got their priorities all fucked up.
A lot of people talk about wanting to live a long life, and I wonder if that's propelled by anything other than fear of death. I don't know that I worked with Clint Eastwood. He's like 92. I don't know that I want to live to 92. I might not have much to do, and I might hate everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't.
Like, when you get to be 92, like, people treat you like, oh, do you want me to boil this carrot for you? Like, it might be too hard for you to chew, Mr. Eastwood.
That's totally part of it. Or
how many boiled carrots was he presented with when you were on set with him?
I mean, if boiled carrots is a euphemism, I got to tell you. No, he, you know what? Eastwood eats really well. That guy can eat a ton of food, but he likes to take his time. He makes an event out of a meal. It's a salad. It's a big piece of protein. It's a dessert. It's, you know, at dinner, it's a glass of wine or a beer. Like,
and it's a short day.
That guy's tiny. He puts a lot of food in. And it is a short day. It's like 5 to 8 hours. It's insane.
It's that short? Seriously?
I start in the movie and I literally never worked a day more than 9.5 hours.
That's insane.
It was bizarre. Wait, that's not true. We had night shoots that were probably 10 hours, but still, it was like lax compared to TV schedules where you got to do a monologue and a fight scene in one day. It's like, it's
insane. Yeah. Wow, crazy. And, you know, I rag on Clint Eastwood a lot. I actually liked Richard Jewell a lot more than his recent stuff. Like, I can always tell when it's a Clint Eastwood movie because the extras are always, like, acting insane. Like, I don't know what it is, but the background artists or whatever, they're always just, like, way too, like, oh, what's going on? I guess I'm specifically talking about Sully, where they're, like, running through an airport, and they're like, oh, we got to catch our flight, Dad, or whatever. And, like, I don't know. I can just always peg a fucking Clint Eastwood movie based on the background actor.
Part of it's probably those actors' uncontained excitement of being on a Clint Eastwood set.
Yeah, probably.
I would say that the ADs, since the day is so short, they don't have enough time to catch everyone that's trying to get noticed. You know,
I would 100% agree with you. Yeah, because it's the 80s who are like going like, fuck, he only wants to shoot for 5 hours today. I guess that guy who's juggling in the background is just going to be juggling whatever.
Yeah. I in my experience, I've noticed there's usually three types of background extras. They're the ones who are either that they know what the gig is. They're not super happy about it. And when they're not shooting or filming, they're usually reading a book. They're just sitting, reading a book, waiting to go back. Basically doing the low status version of what Michael Caine probably does. and then the second version of a background actor is the one who is really hungry and is doing the work. Like, they're doing theater outside of this and they're trying to write a short story or a screenplay. And they'll come up to me or other people and they'll just once or twice, they'll ask for advice. And that's like, yeah, that's what I would do. I was literally in your place at one point. I did background work. And then the worst one is the one who's like really entitled. They're complaining about the food.
And that's most of them. Did they tell you to eat breakfast? Because they didn't tell me to eat breakfast, and we're already on set.
You guys had omelets, huh? We had French toast sticks. Whatever. Like, it's always that weird vibe. And then when the cameras are rolling, they're trying to win the peripheral Oscar. They're like,
yeah.
They're so into it.
One of my favorite things to do is to just watch background people. It's my favorite thing to just see like how insane they're going to act.
And when they're good, you notice it too. Cause I've watched stuff where like somebody, Jim Carrey's running through this street screaming or something. And then people just turn like slightly and just go. And it's like, that is what I would do if I were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't think I could be that subtle.
I think I would have went, where are they go? I would have done it.
Well, that's what's my favorite thing is to watch background artists because they're supposed to be quiet. And when you're acting as a background artist with another background artist and they're not paying attention to you, they like try to get your attention using their hands, which you'd never do when they could hear you. Hey. Yeah. You know, like, well, I don't know. Look at me. Like, and so they're like, talking without their voice. I'm like, whoa.
I did that on I, Tonya, where there's like a moment where me and a couple guys are in slow-mo. They're playing The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. We're getting out of these elevators and all these people pretending to be press and reporters and journalists are begging us for like, what did you do with Tonya Harding? But you can see if you watch the movie, and I'm in slow-mo, so you can't miss it. I have a smirk on my face in the take they used, and it was because I was dying laughing every take we did because the actors were just steroidal. They were so freaking into it, and I couldn't take it.
Who are you?
I couldn't take it. It was so funny.
Actually in awe of people who can have a silent conversation. I would never be able to do that. I would never be able to just fake like I was talking and then listen and then like fake like I was talking more. Because like, how do you even know what the conversation is?
That's weird.
Well, a lot of times because of that, and you're right, a lot of times people just end up whispering and like everyone can hear you whispering. And then like people like start leaning like, what are you saying? So you start noticing like people like turning their heads while they're like trying to be quiet, acting in the background.
It's weird.
It's hard to not get noticed when you're being a background artist.
Well, that one guy made a career out of it. Jesse Hyman, I think his name is.
Yeah. He's like in everything and he's kind of a interesting looking dude.
Yeah, he's like a famous background performer.
There's a whole video of all of his shit, right? That went big on Funny or Die for a bit.
Yeah, it's like old school and then The Social Network. It's like really high profile movies too. It's funny.
So here's the thing. If I feel like if our military and or government where they would combine if we actually did find a probe, they would take it, disassemble it, and they would also start to try to hide our weaponry from them. Like, I mean, my idea is if species lasts for a long time and you go through your pictures, let's say there's species in every galaxy, which some people believe, some people don't, whatever. At some point, I feel like radiation is the death of life. Meaning you either blow yourself up with radiation or the radiation from the elements gets you. And so I feel like an intelligent, long lasting species would be able to see when they show up to our planet that we're nuking each other and that we're doing nuke tests and they just push on. It's like, why look at these idiots? They're not going to listen to us. And so I'm not saying that that's why that thing took a sharp turn, but I'm saying that if there are any alien species observing us, without mind reading and without watching daily interactions, just to see the amount of radiation going on, because we are still nuclear testing all the time. And we have so many nukes all over the planet. Like you think that they're not testing anymore. They're constantly testing nuclear weapons everywhere.
we're doing a lot of messed up shit. Like the what about the Hadron Collider? You guys know about that?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, that's some weird stuff that doesn't really need to exist, that solely exists as like a sort of dark minded what if to see what could happen. And what could happen is very catastrophic, technically.
Like, when they turn it on, they're like, we might create tiny black holes, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, and that's where I think that's where I think power and money are corruptible. And I'll be honest, I'm not trying to sound like, I don't know what I'll sound like, but I really don't know if these Elon Musk people who are putting satellites in orbit and taking over space, like, I don't know that they have the best interests at heart. It's not like even the Sackler family that, you know, donates all this money to children's hospitals. These pieces of shit are literally at the forefront and the background of the opioid crisis. It's like, you can say you're the greatest person in the world, but we don't know that if you have all that power.
The biggest donors need to donate the most money to save the most money. It's like, if you don't donate, then you pay tax, you know, like, you have to donate.
Correctamundo. If not also to distract and dissuade people from believing they might be some evil, weird people. So yeah. I don't know. I get very uncomfortable when it comes to the whole buying up rent in space that wealthy people on Earth are doing. It feels strange to me.
Like, I mean, I think, if anything, like, we're awful. The human race as a whole is bad, and we're definitely gonna kill ourselves off. So I don't know that we need to worry about living to 92 at this point.
Well, and so here's another weird side thing is, like, we've sent out Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, and these things have long been outside of our solar system. And we sent these out as probes to look for life, but also to help life find us, you know, like, we on this golden disc, we have instructions on binary language on how to use it, what we're made of, where we're located. There's like star charts on it. It says hi in different languages.
But do you think that that's bad?
Well, I personally don't think that most alien races are colonialistic like us, but I do think that if they need something, it's like, they're not going to come colonize us, but they're going to take the resources. And I think that, good or bad, is we need to get rid of that thought when we think of aliens, because that's something that we attach
but
to.
How does this fit into your narrative, though, that, like, aliens are already here and stuff like that? So, like, what do you care about the fucking Voyagers?
Well, I only bring it up weirdly because, like, I feel like most people aren't even aware of these probes that we sent out. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, we're trying to talk to intelligent races. And so we should expect an answer. We should, like, collectively think that, like, there could be something out there that is going to answer us. So we should preemptively contemplate that.
But just like God and people that deny the existence, even when something miraculous or fascinating were to happen to them, would we even recognize the answer if we received it? Would we intellectually receive it? We probably could have if we had the intellect they have, but it's almost like a 46-year-old trying to have an intelligent conversation with a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's weird. I mean, like, in the Star Trek universe, the first movie is an alien race finds Voyager and brings it back to Earth. It's what a great plot. And they can't understand it because it's basically a civilization that has turned into an AI civilization. So, I mean, like, it's fucking a really good movie with a lot of good things to think about. And that's just it. Like, I personally think that the AI that we create, though it may not become sentient, is definitely going to outlast humanity. And so picture aliens finding us a million years from now when all they're finding are the AI that we created that aren't sentient, but they're programmed and they're working still.
That's wild. I think we're so arrogant and self-servient that the aliens would be more indifferent and just flirtatious at best when it comes to our culture or intellect. I don't even think they're looking for resources, because that would imply or kind of have a connotation of the same mental, emotional duress we have of feeling we need to sustain and survive to live 112. I think aliens may have a lot more peace about that kind of stuff, where it's like, when you're done, and you're not going to try to make the case for survival. I think that feels like a human thing.
Don't you think that if there is an intelligent alien race, that some of them are historians and would want to know, like, what the hell happened on this planet?
Well, once again, what is a historian but someone who's also trying to study and gain knowledge of their own existence? I just don't know that aliens are that extensive the way we are. Like, I'm a big wrestling fan, so one thing about the WWE company that I find laughable is how they kind of over-celebrate their own history. They're constantly talking about their own timeline and people, and it's like, that's interesting in small doses or strokes, but at some point, you're kind of just making money stroking yourself. And I don't know that aliens would do that the way humans do, right?
Well, let me ask you this, because you're a Christian man. Do these aliens, are they from the God that you believe in, or are they outside of it?
Once again, I don't know how to define aliens necessarily, but if I had to put it in a category of understanding, to me it would be more of a good, evil thing like spirits. Maybe there's good ones and maybe there's bad ones. You know, maybe they're existing as torture or existing as a grace. You know, maybe they don't even want to exist. Maybe that's why they're traveling.
How would you categorize a race of beings that were good to themselves, but they actually were harming everyone else? Like, would that good or evil? Depends if it's hurting you, right?
Isn't that called wealthy people?
Yeah, well, isn't that just humans?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that like to say, like, what if they were actually trying to do good for themselves, but they're actually just killing everybody else? Now, romantically, that's what we are, but we're way worse than that.
I don't know. That's interesting, though, the idea of not knowing the effect of what you deem to be harmless engagement with life. Yeah.
Well, Paul, you believe in heaven, right?
Yeah, legit.
So you get to heaven. Do you think there's going to be like a bunch of weird, like, alien species that you've never seen there? Or do you think it's all humans?
I don't know. I think
cantina. Yeah.
Once again, I think almost more in spirits than anything else. Isn't there that weird scientific thing of when you die? What is the 7 pounds?
It's like the
theory?
7 grams or whatever.
Yeah, like there's something that, I don't know, there's some weight loss thing or something that has a connotation of not knowing where the 7 pounds go.
Is it pounds? Is it actually pounds? Is it that much?
No, it's got to be grams. It's so small, but it's definitely measurable.
No, I think it might be pounds. It's the Will Smith movie, right?
Yeah, I thought so for some reason. Once again, forgive me for being undereducated on these things.
Well, wait. While I know Wade's looking some up, while he's looking stuff up, Paul, don't you think the WWE missed out on an opportunity by letting The Undertaker lose? Like, this is counted as a sports record, and they had the longest sports record ever, and then they let him lose. Like, he
Are you talking against Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was the wrong move, and I thought it was a weird sign that Vince McMahon has this strange obsession affinity with Brock Lesnar, and I think it's bit him in the ass now to where Brock doesn't even look at Vince the way Vince looks at Brock. and he's made it abundantly clear. And I think if Vince could go back, he'd almost overturn that decision just to spite him. I thought it was a huge mistake. And I think they got to build up younger, smaller guys and stop the land of the giants thing, because it doesn't really work anymore.
They can't build anybody up the way that they did him. And even when he beat AJ Styles in that cool nobody was around
Boneyard match.
Like that was interesting to watch, because it was a new take on wrestling. But I'm like, he already lost, so I'm like,
it's not the same. It's not the same. I think he had one of the most storied careers anyone will ever have. Love the guy's work, but there's that weird thing now of what do you do after wrestling? Apparently Joe Rogan's podcast. I still have to finish watching that. But going back to the heaven thing, I don't even know what forms people would take necessarily, but I think it's just a place where it's more rad than you would ever actually imagine. Like whatever things you love on earth would probably be amplified to a degree that would just be you, like on earth, you probably couldn't even handle the amount of joy. You'd probably pass out.
So I've looked it up. It's 21 grams is what we were referencing. And it's an old 1901. Dr. Duncan McDougall is the one who first suggested this, that the soul weighs 21 grams.
Fascinating. Which,
you know, and 1 pound is 450 grams. So like just saying 21 grams is a really small amount of weight, but like this is a thing, because they were studying so many people that died, which is a weird thing. And measuring.
Do you think that dogs go to heaven?
I mean, I don't know that dogs would go to heaven, because I don't know that dogs. I don't know that animals have souls the way I believe we do, but I still think anything you loved that was dear and near to your heart could be easily replicated in heaven.
Okay. So heaven is just like a bunch of weird amorphous like souls, and they could be aliens or they could be humans.
Well, there's an interesting weird thing too about like Christians talk about how they're like, well, in heaven, you'll have a perfect body. You'll be restored and you'll be healthy, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what's funny is that I think our vanity and arrogance would get in the way of interpreting that to mean that we all look like, you know, Gosling and Crazy Stupid Love, like washboard abs. You were all super gorgeous by worldly definition. I bet in heaven we all look the same fucking way, but we actually love each other. And better yet, we love ourselves to the degree that we would never define ourselves by acne or weight gain, you know?
Well, you know, to talk about people that have experienced near-death experiences and when they talk about feeling that side of everything, that the theme that you always hear is no judgment. And that's the weird idea that I take from all these stories, is like, wow, life is hard because we judge ourselves so hard. And it's like to drop all that and to feel love without that is like something that makes me go like, well, I don't know if I believe in heaven, but I believe that idea exists in some kind of afterlife that was trying to be explained. And I'm like, oh, I can't imagine taking away judgment, you know?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think of this, but I just think that, like, if Christianity took away the aggressive legalism and sort of reconstructed politics that become more cult than faith, I think it wouldn't be so unattractive. Because I have to say, from my experience, I pray and read the Bible, you know, at least maybe every other day. It enhances my life in a really cool way that like has only been a positive and not a hindrance. So like, I feel bad that so many people have had these shitty experiences when I've had a really kind of a fun, good one, but I don't know how to translate that to people.
I mean, I used to always say, I'm glad I grew up in the church, because when I learned the idea of heaven, it was like, it made me want to meet everyone, so that when I got to heaven, it was like, hey, I remember you, instead of who are you? It like made me want to meet everyone.
That's funny. I think people in heaven will already know who you are. You'll show up and they're literally like, oh, thank God, Willie's here. I think it's literally going to be like that.
That's my nightmare. That's like going back to my 20-year high school reunion where everybody knows me and I have no idea who any of them are.
That's what happens when you're a successful writer and comedian and podcaster.
Put a huge asterisk next to that description.
We met in 2011, remember?
All right, Willie, final thoughts on Aumaumau? Aumaumau? I sound like a dog who's trying to talk.
I love that this Harvard scientist has just taken this approach. Listen, it's not to say like, hey, aliens are real, but it's to say, hey, we need to think about them being real, so that when they, if they ever do show up, we're not just gonna be like, oh, whoops, I didn't mean to shoot you. We just didn't know. We were so worried that you were so evil that we just killed you on accident. You know, like I think the way I live my life in fear and the way to lose that fear is to take in information. And, you know, if you're afraid of libtards, if you're afraid of the religious right, if you're afraid, like when you meet people, you learn that, oh, you know what? It makes you say not everyone's bad. I mean, just saying that, like, the more we know, the better we will go into the future together. And if we're afraid of things, it makes us build up a bigger military and keeps us from meeting people, because our military is actually going to intercept an alien conversation. I think it's already happened, but let's say it hasn't. Let's say aliens have not been here, and let's say they're on their way here. Our military is going to stop our communication with them before we get to say hi. And that is because we have harnessed this fear, and we need to get ahead of the fear. And it is sad. I'm telling you, if this Oumuamua is an alien probe, then I would bet you military and or government knows about this and they've addressed it, and we don't get to meet them. You know, just so that's my whole thing, is that like we just need to get ahead of our military. That's it. We don't need to, sure, defunding them is a great thing, but we can't let them speak for us, because our military needs to win and be it.
Well,
and can't lose.
You said defunding would be a good thing.
Our military is, listen, as Americans, we think that we're number one, but our military actually is number one, and we don't need billions of dollars put into our military next year. Whatever we have can last for 5 years. Let's just not put any more money in the military for 5 years, because right. whose military is better than ours? China with right. their shitty rocket launch. I'm just saying, like, whatever we have can last 5 years, but we don't let it last more than 2 years. Because we're constantly buying new equipment. We're constantly.
Yeah, I think the mind of the, not the military itself, but the people that make decisions that then are carried out by the military, because those are two deeply separate things. a lot of the guys and gals who carry those orders out don't always agree with them, but but I think like
I do not support the people that are in charge of them. Go on.
Well, and I completely agree with you, and I think the mind of those people making those decisions is often a little more veiny reproductive organ than it is a soul or a brain. And that's very scary, knowing the consequences that lie after some of those decisions are made.
I think you need not look any further than the movie Avatar by James Cameron, who showed us that when the military is in charge, there can be no peace. So...
Listen, you tell Jimmy Cameron that we need 46. Have you seen how many Avatar films are getting made?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Too many. Too many Z.
Dude, there's like at least four.
It's too much.
Was there a cartoon series or something that like perpetuated?
No, nobody
this?
Even remembers Avatar. Like you can't name one character in Avatar, and yet it's gonna be. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. Can you name one character?
Sam Worthington was the guy laying down until he wasn't.
Well, so that's an actor, no more, right?
And he flew because of the blue girl.
Uh huh.
And then No. And then the guy went into the sky because they had to fight and save the family.
I believe that you saw Avatar. I just don't believe that Avatar is worthy of this weird franchise that's being built when no one cares about Avatar.
Avatar is like the story of it is going to be our story with aliens.
It's probably true. The first one was literally Fern Gully, by the way.
It was literally Pocahontas. Fern. It's literally a million movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we've taken down Avatar.
Is the second one
already
out? Is there a second one out? Okay.
Now that I've barred myself from ever be casting in the
nobody listens to this. You can be an Avatar. You'll still be in one of the Avatars. Don't worry.
I love storytelling, but I love money even more, man. That fat, wet Avatar money, man. Give me that fat, wet Avatar money.
No one can blame you for that. Paul, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to plug anything?
Yeah.
Just watch Cobra Kai. I'm in season two. It's a fun show, and we need light fare in these times. And dude, yeah.
When you show up at the high school and start helping beating up them kids, man, that's a pretty funny episode.
That was fun. That was some actor checklist stuff because of the way I look, I will not get many fight scenes in my life, I don't think. So that I'll take what I can get. That was fun.
All right. Do you want to shout out your Twitter or anything like that?
@ Paul W. Hauser. If you want to see me post Bible verses and wrestling videos and the occasional shade throw, I'm on your feed. Just look it up @ Paul W. Hauser.
All right, man. Thanks for being here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can get 2 bonus episodes a week. Right? 2 bonus episodes a week, right?
Yep.
Okay. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.
What a good finish.